Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, a show that connects you with the topics and people and issues that are important to you. Very important person here today. Mayor John Southers, hello.
Renee, great to be with you.
I'm so glad I feel like you're way over there. I don't know why you're feeling like you're, because you are kind of way
there
over there.
There is a bit of a divide in the studio.
This morning for, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you've been really busy and there is so much going on with the city. And actually, I would like to jump in because with the City for Champions stuff, because that was all approved, finalized this week by City Council, and we are now a full go, aren't we?
We are full go on all four projects. Obviously, a couple of them are really getting close to opening. The Olympic Museum and Hall of Fame will open in late April. The Hibble Sports Center will open next summer on the
UCCS campus.
Yeah. Sports Medicine Center. We broke ground on the downtown stadium last Saturday night, and if people drive by there, all the construction fences are up. Construction's commencing, and that stadium will be done by March of 2021. The council this week gave final approval to Robeson Arena on the CC campus. That groundbreaking should take place right after the first of the year. I think they're hoping to be done once again for the 2021 hockey season.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, and then, as you know, a couple weeks ago, council did final approval of the Air Force Academy Visitor Center. That's a lot more complicated project than a lot of people think it is. It's right. Actually a 58-acre development, office, hotels, a food court, a indoor skydiving arena, in addition to the visitor center. The only thing that remains to be done there is the issuance of bonds. We have a drop-dead date. They have to be issued, according to our agreement with the state, by March 31st, but we're very confident that's going to happen.
And could you kind of give some background for those that don't know? There was kind of a deadline that we had to get everything done to get the funding for to complete the City for Champions. So folks may not know the history behind that. And again, there was kind of that deadline we had to.
Right. We had to have everything. We had to have basically substantial work by December 16th of this year. And originally it was the year before, but the agreement called for a one-year extension kind of automatically. But we were under the gun for this December 16th, and we got it done. OEdit found that with the issuance of bonds on the downtown stadium, things like that, and with all the work that's been done at the Air Force Academy, they found substantial work. So we're good to go on that. But the one lingering thing they said that on the Air Force Academy, if the bonds are issued by March 31st, we're quite confident they will be.
That's perfect. And I heard the groundbreaking was pretty fun for the stadium.
It was. We had fireworks and the whole bit. It was a lot of fun. Speaking of fun groundbreakings, we had like 500 people at a groundbreaking out at Powers Boulevard extension yesterday afternoon.
This that's is a huge.
$134 million project taking Powers Boulevard from Voyager to I-25, including an interchange on I-25, very expensive interchange. And then the second phase of that will be connecting Powers from Voyager to 83, so connecting to the current Powers. So eventually Powers will go from the interstate, you know, down to the airport and hopefully be a very quick way to the airport for people coming down from Castle Rock and things like that.
Now, this is also a kind of a privately funded project, isn't it?
Well, it's
in collaboration with
CDOT. It's an urban renewal area. There's a lot of private money in it, but there's also tax increment financing in the urban renewal area. And Gary Erickson's the developer. To his credit, he's now got 65 businesses in Polaris Point that are producing the sales tax, a portion of which is going in to paying for the Powers extension. The other groundbreaking yesterday, I mean, the good news just keeps going on and on, was not a groundbreaking, but announcement of...
That was a big announcement.
It was a big announcement that the Y is going forward with redevelopment, that whole block that they're on. They're going to start by building a new Y at the corner of Pikes Peak and Nevada. At the corner of Platt and Nevada.
Okay, Platt.
Nevada. And the first two or three stories will be the new Y, and then above that will be apartment complex with a lot of affordable housing. The second phase will be to tear down the current Y, multi-uses, maybe a wellness center, possibly a downtown grocery store, things like that.
Wow. Because it is kind of a food desert down there.
It is a bit of a food desert. And with all the people moving down there, I think it's ripe for a grocery store. Third phase would be potential commercial construction and an expansion of the parking garage there, another two stories.
So that parking garage that we know is going to stay, possibly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It needs to stay for First Presbyterian Church.
Yeah.
Needs to stay for, obviously, the people who are going to be living in the apartments, things like that. So, you know, those are just some of the things going on, Renee. A lot going on. The downtown is really being transformed. There's no question about it.
And of course, we're excited about the progress and the growth. But we're also hearing from folks, I'm sure, as you are, Mayor, too, that are also concerned, though.
Oh yeah,
far as traffic and stuff like that.
If you're a no growther,
is that what they're called, no growthers?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of folks you know, if you moved here to retire and don't want to see any growth here, then you're probably pretty anxious.
Right.
I always ask those folks, you know, do you have children or grandchildren that you'd like to live in Colorado Springs? And a lot of them say, oh, yeah, I'd love to have them stay here. And I remind them, you got to create 5,000 jobs a year just to take care of the high school and college graduates from Colorado Springs that want to stay in Colorado Springs.
Wow. So,
and it needs to be what I like is I feel very good about a lot of the amenity things like a downtown stadium, things like a museum, indoor arena. These are things that just upgrade the quality of life in Colorado Springs from my perspective. The Summit House, we haven't talked about the Summit House. We just finished the second construction season, and we hope it will be three construction seasons. Those sorts of things are just, you know, really moving us forward in terms of a destination to come, to. I hope to have more exciting news on the airport. You know, great development going up there.
Yeah, and we can't talk about that though.
Well,
wait, can we? I don't think we can talk about that, Mayor.
No, but
you're going to give them some, you know, heart attacks over there.
Yeah, no, we hope to be able to make some good announcements there. So a lot of great things going on, Renee.
Okay, so let's take a break, and we're going to have more with Mayor John Southers coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. This morning, we're talking with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers. And Mayor, you know, we can't avoid the conversation on this, especially after the events that have happened in the last few days in regards to the shooting death of Devon Bailey. I think we have not spoken since the grand jury came back. Is that correct?
I can't recall, really. Yeah.
The grand jury came back. They reviewed for, three or four months the case. And they came back that it was justified.
Yeah, on a unanimous basis. And they issued a report explaining why they felt it was fully in conformance with the law of self-defense and the law of use of force by officers. Also, and I would encourage our residents to look at this, very quickly after that, the Sheriff's Department released their almost 400-page report, investigation report. And there's a lot of interesting information in that, and I would encourage people to read that whole report because obviously that's the investigation that produced the evidence that the grand jury heard and things like that. Explanations why he was carrying a gun, the fact the gun had been stolen recently, explanations, some things that Mr. Stoker that was with him said he knew he had a gun and things like that. So I would encourage folks to read that report. Look at the grand jury findings, their written findings. A tragedy that a young person, because of some decisions he made, lost his life. A terrible tragedy. Heart goes out to the family. Understand why they're grieving. But as mayor, I can tell you that my responsibilities are pretty clear. Number one, we are going to obviously allow people to exercise their First Amendment rights. They can hold signs. They can have rallies. They can scream obscenities in the mayor's face and things like that. They have every right to do that. They don't have a right. No one has a right to engage in criminal behavior, including vandalism.
Correct.
And we've had three incidents of vandalism since this incident involving red paint. The law enforcement memorial at Memorial Park was vandalized. The district attorney's office was vandalized. And then the Olympic City USA sign coming into the city was vandalized a couple of days ago. Obviously, we get on those sorts of things very quickly. Our graffiti removal team does a great job. I think we had it cleaned up by 11 o'clock. While the sign, is paid for with private money.
That was private donations.
Yeah,
for
but
that.
It is city property. And right. I think the estimate is it costs us about $800 to clean it up. And that's taxpayer dollars. And so, as I say, we're obviously going to be very respective of people's First Amendment rights, but we're also going to prosecute anybody we catch committing violations of the law.
Now, we do know there were protesters at the parade on Saturday.
Right.
And some are saying that was in response to the city taking down, I guess there was a memorial at that park for Devon Bailey.
Yeah, once again, that's kind of a good segue from the remarks I just made.
Yeah.
The Neighborhood Services code enforcement responds almost daily to people leaving stuff in places they shouldn't be leaving and in violation of the code. I think the city has generally taken the same view that the State Transportation Department makes takes, that when somebody wants to have a what I'd call a makeshift memorial, not permanent, but something with flowers or something like that, as a matter of respect, we would leave it up for some period of time. They do that along the right. highways, yeah. but obviously they don't leave it there permanently.
Right.
Two problems with this, apparently, that I have been informed by code. Number one, they have painted on the sidewalk. That the city is not going to allow. We can't have people putting, their own spray-painted messages on sidewalks and city parks. Residents complained about that, as well as the fact that there was drugs, particularly marijuana and alcohol, accumulating around this area. Now, when I talked to Mr. Stoker yesterday on a radio program, he said,
and this is Devon Bailey. So everybody knows
cousin.
Lawrence Stoker right. is Devon Bailey's cousin.
He said, we put all the marijuana and alcohol containers in a trash can. And then the city took the trash can away. I don't know whether we don't have no knowledge of anybody taking the city taking the trash can away. And when people complain about marijuana and alcohol containers and damage to city property, we're going to respond and clean that up. If it's just some candles and flowers for some period of time, we're probably going to leave that there.
And so, and I know there was some talk about trying to make a permanent memorial there, but that's really
not on public property. Yeah, if they want to do that on private property or the cemetery or something like that, that's one thing, but not on public property.
Now, I know police have been investigating this. Do you know if there's any kind of suspects in mind about who might continue to be vandalizing?
Oh, I'm sure they're investigating it, and I would tell the perpetrators that there's an awful lot of cameras in this world these days, and so obviously we'll utilize those when we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to move forward. We're going to talk about the accomplishments of 2019. And we're also going to talk about what's on board for 2020, because lots happening in the city. We'll have more with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning and welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers. And Mayor, it has been a busy year. And we just heard, you may have heard that report that we just did. And we know housing here is a big thing. And now it looks like Colorado Springs and Fort Collins in the top 10 housing markets in the country. And that's a good thing, but it's also a concern, isn't it? Especially with as much as we're growing, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's really a two-edged sword. Number one, we're that way because our employment market's so good.
Right.
By the way, kind of an interesting development. You know, every time I've come in here for the last couple of years and I've told you where all the jobs are, the number one job opening was always registered nurse.
Yeah. Has that changed?
It has changed.
Wow. Do we need a drum roll?
Well, yeah. We'd gone from 1,500 net registered nurse openings. Now we're down to about 800 and some, 850, something like that. And it's now the second most. Hold it here. Let me get it directly. We only have 658 nursing positions.
So they're starting to fill up.
Average wage, 60,906. And so the number one job opening in Colorado Springs right now is software engineer.
Hmm.
And of course, 685 software engineers. Average market salary for the position is $91,625. Renee, there's still time for you to go back to school and become a software engineer.
We were just talking about how I need to do that.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. So,
because this communications thing really is.
Yeah, so the good news is our job market is such, we're attracting a lot of people that are wanting housing and things like that. Obviously, with salaries like that, you can afford housing. But that causes the supply and demand reality to kick in, and we've got very little supply. The demand is high. That means higher prices.
Yeah.
The only thing the city can do about that is facilitate affordable housing. The city of Colorado Springs is not going to build housing itself, but we get up to $8 to $12 million a year every year that we can put into incentivizing affordable housing through HUD and CHAFA, the state housing authority. And obviously we can work with nonprofits like Grecio, Partners in Housing, Rocky Mountain Land Trust, things like that. And things like yesterday's announcement by the Y that they're going to get in the housing business. My goal has been for the next 5 years to open at least 1,000 new affordable housing units per year.
Per year and that per year. 1,000. Okay.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, as long as the economy's as good as it is, I think you're going to continue to see upward pressure on housing costs.
And I'm sure a lot of folks, of course, their attention is turning to Banning Lewis.
Right.
And is that still a focus on developing and expanding that area?
Oh, absolutely. That will develop out. There's quite a bit of development out there right now, but I think that will accelerate tremendously over the next several years.
And are you seeing, I know a lot of folks also, builders and stuff, are turning their attention to Southeast areas to try and, I don't want to say revive, but, help bring more businesses in there, more construction, right? And certain areas of
the
city.
Obviously, development is always market-driven. Mm-hmm. The city can't, even urban renewal project, the city can't say, build here. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a developer who believes that it's in their economic interest to develop in that area. And urban renewal areas give you a little incentive to do that, but it still has to be very viable. There's some good things going on in the Southeast. A lot of attention by folks to, we're going to redo Academy Boulevard next summer, South Academy Boulevard.
So many people are going, woo!
But that's a little bit of the good news is we're going to fix South Academy Boulevard. The bad news is we're going to fix South Academy Boulevard.
Right.
And that will be pretty much of a summer-consuming kind of thing. I told you, we hope to have some really good news at the airport.
Yeah.
That's in the Southeast Quadrant, and a lot of jobs out there would really, I think, be a boost to the economy in the Southeast Quadrant. City's putting a lot of money into park development in the Southeast. A lot of money is going into what will, in essence, be a regional park, Panorama. Several million dollars. We're going to kind of do a makeover of Panorama Park there. I think it'll be very, very attractive park.
And I know some of these things that we have touched on, of course, big things that have happened in 2019. And
yeah.
What are some other of your
what I feel good about in 19?
Yeah, in 19.
Renee, every December, I don't tell them in advance, but when I sit down with my cabinet, the department heads, I always show them an index card that I filled out in the first week of January, what my goals
were
for
that
year. Exactly.
Okay.
And for 2 years in a row, we meet every single one of the goals, but for one. And that was what I wanted to settle the EPA, State of Colorado Health Department case over stormwater MS4 permit. And unfortunately, I held it over from last year, the 2018 list, and it's still being held over this year because we haven't settled it yet. That, when we talk about 2020 in a second, is going to be one of my major goals for 2020.
That fixed, okay.
Here's what I feel really good about in 2019.
Okay.
Implementation of 2A, the stormwater fee. We feel like that's gone pretty smoothly, and it's going to get more smooth come January because we're going to have a lot of commercial property owners will now have the stormwater fee on their utility bill, and fewer people will be getting bills from the city that they have to deal with separately.
Okay.
Okay. So we feel very good about that. 2C renewal was huge.
Yeah.
I said in 2015, this is probably at least a 10-year deal, but we're going to go for 5 years because we want to build up voter confidence. And that's exactly what happened. You know, we won this thing with 65% of the vote in 2015, and we got a little more than that, 65.5% or something, to get it renewed. So that's obviously people are happy that our roads are being fixed, and they think the cities take a constructive approach to that. So that was very, very important. We've talked a little earlier about C4C. There's four projects. Renee, 2 years ago when I was on this program, I was pretty pessimistic about.
If that was going to come to you.
The two most complicated projects were the one with the downtown stadium and indoor arena and the Air Force Academy. And we just needed more private investment in the downtown situation. We'd run all the numbers and we looked at all the revenue streams and we were $20 to $30 million short. We had to have private investment. I had no interest in, you know, city general fund investment.
Right.
And lo and behold, in almost miraculous fashion, I kind of set up a competition between the Elmore family that owns the Sky Sox and the Reagans that own the Switchbacks. And I said, come with proposals. The Sky Sox came with one that had some money attached. And all of a sudden, the Reagans show up with Widener Apartment Homes, a very, very large entity owned by Dean Widener, who grew up in Colorado Springs, the third largest apartment developer in the country.
Yeah.
And you know, they're going to spend the stadium's $35 million. They're going to spend $250 million in the surrounding area there.
To put in housing, yeah.
And they bought approximately half of the Switchbacks. And so all of a sudden we had that private investment. Then Cairo College calls and says, hey you know,
by the way,
we would love to build a downtown arena. Can we partner and meet your needs for the Olympic governing bodies and take advantage of the state money? And the next thing you know, we've got the funding for the arena. So, and then a very, very complicated deal on the Air Force Academy. We had to find a developer who was willing to develop 59 acres with confidence that they would generate just an extra $50 million to pay for the infrastructure and the visitor center, and we're just about there. So
that's amazing.
That's been amazing. Other things, just overall commercial development, the hotels going up downtown, the residential.
Downtown is completely different now. It's like this just.
And it's going to be more different. The Summit House, you know, that's a project that we've been talking about for a long time. It's going to be a reality. We just finished our second construction season. It's probably one of the more difficult construction projects ever undertaken because you don't build very many buildings at 14,000 feet.
Yeah.
GE Johnson's done a great job. I think they're documenting it. I think they'll take it on a roadshow for the construction industry.
It'd be fun to see a documentary or something.
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting. So those are the kinds of things that we wanted to get done in 2019, and we feel like we've made a lot of progress.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about goals for 2020 and maybe some of the biggest challenges ahead. We'll have more with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. This morning we are talking with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers. And Mayor, I don't know if you just got this email. It's from the Chamber. Did you see this? Colorado Springs named Inc.'s 2020 Surge City list on the top.
I did see that.
That's crazy.
We're a lot higher in 21, but I did see it. It's nice to be in the top 50 for business startups. And we've got a lot of really good startups.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the dynamics that I'm kind of appreciating, a lot of those startups are actually getting downtown.
Yeah.
And as you know, one of the things that I think will help our growth patterns, and there was a Vince Bizdek of the Gazette wrote a column about it last Sunday, I think. One of the problems in Denver is you got 750,000 people converging on downtown Denver every day and then trying to get out, right?
Right.
Because you got these big headquarters and things like that. Renee, I think it's going to turn into a blessing for us that most of our major employers are actually on the periphery of our city. You've got all our military installations are major employers. You've got the INT headquarters is going to be off of InterQuest. You've got the big healthcare facilities. Their main going to be on the periphery. And as long as we maintain infrastructure, I think we can have an incredibly charming downtown with a lot of smaller. Obviously, it will obviously be
the smaller business.
It'll be the government base, although the county's out on Garden of the Gods, a lot of it. But the city will be headquartered downtown. The FBI is down there, all that kind of stuff. But I think we have a lot of kind of fun businesses. Altea, is down there. Bomb Bomb.
Yeah.
We've got a whole bunch of them that. Are kind of startup mode companies.
Yeah.
And
didn't Bomb Bomb just get a grant or something like that? Am I saying
a lot of them are?
Yeah.
We've got the, you know, with our next in association with our cybersecurity center, we've got Exponential Impact, which is kind of a cyber related accelerator. Mm-hmm. And those companies, those startups are tending to stay in town and get a presence here. And so it's, we need more venture capital. Yeah. Historically speaking, we haven't had a lot of venture capital in Colorado Springs, but over the last couple of years, we've significantly improved our game in that regard. So that's all good.
And by the way, we did a feature some of the startups here on The Extra a couple weeks back, so you can go listen to that podcast. Because like you said, it's a great thing seeing these startups here.
It really is.
Yeah. So let's talk about 2020. Should we start with the top thing like we're talking about, the EPA?
Yeah.
We've kind of rolled that over, like get it wrapped up.
Yeah, for your listeners who don't know what I'm talking about there, when I became into office, we had some major legal issues surrounding stormwater. Pueblo wanted to shut down the Southern Delivery System, saying we'd violated agreements with them because we weren't spending enough money on stormwater. The state and the federal government sued us in November of 2015, alleging we were in violation of what's called an MS4 permit. We weren't doing enough to clean up the water before we put it into, and that's all a matter of stormwater detention and retention and things like that. With the help of the voters reinstating a stormwater fee in November of 2017, we've made an incredible amount of progress.
Yeah.
I feel very good about our stormwater folks. I think in a couple of years we will be far and away the best stormwater system in Colorado. But I got to settle this lingering case with the
Where does it stand right now?
Well, we went to trial on a couple of phases of it, remember, about a year or so ago and lost on all three parts of that first phase, which is pretty good indication that we're not going to fare well in trial. And so we're trying to get it settled. And I think we're getting very, very close. We're now exchanging agreements and things like that. And I'd love to get it done the first 6 months of this year.
That'd be great.
That's something we need to get behind us and move forward. I hope to, as I say, have some big announcement, or at least one at the rodeo first part of this year. I'm sorry, at the airport first part of this year. A little Freudian slip there.
Okay.
And then homelessness. We talked a little about affordable housing.
Yeah.
You know, homelessness, I know it's a perplexing problem for all our residents, but there's actually some good news there. We'd had kind of a steady increase in our homeless count. There's one day in January the federal government makes you go out and do your best job of
counting
point in time count. From 2017 to 2018, we were stable, no growth, and last year our unsheltered population was down 13%. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it's a tough thing to count, right?
Yeah.
That's encouraging. We now have enough shelter beds that we can aggressively, and I mean very aggressively, enforce our no camping bans. That's good news. The law says you can't enforce your camping ban unless you have shelter beds to offer people. We can do that, and we are being aggressive. We've got two cleanup crews that are spending all day, every day, cleaning up camps,
yeah.
Moving them on.
Right.
Now, I realize they may move 200 yards, but they're not going to be there for more than 24 hours because we're going to move them again. And I think the tough love approach, saying to people, if you want help, we'll put you in a shelter bed. We'll make health care available to you. There's going to be some good announcements there about the rescue mission. Obviously, we'll try and help you get a job, talk about mental health, substance abuse. But if you don't want that and you continue to camp on our trails or our parks, we're going to aggressively enforce it. I think that's the only way to go.
Okay.
What I've learned from watching and talking to other mayors around the country, the one thing you don't want to do is get in a deal where it's the city that's you know, facilitating people coming by setting up tent cities or things like that.
You know, and we keep hearing of other Colorado communities now, too, that are having to go to the no camping kind of a...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you want to see what the how bad it can get, just go to San Francisco, Portland, or Seattle, and that's something we want to avoid.
Absolutely. Now, Mayor, unfortunately, we're out of time, but let's keep your list and carry over some of it to next month. Does that sound good?
Oh, absolutely.
But now we know that airport homelessness and more is a top priority. I thank you so much for coming in. Happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you, you very much.
And we'll talk with you next month.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all your listeners out there.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Okay. Thanks so much. And coming up tomorrow on the Extra Business Edition, KRDO News Radio.